Ah, that blinking light means it's time for Where's Art with Annie Dugan. Good morning there, sunshine.
Good morning, Lisa. It is a beautiful day outside, and you can enjoy some art inside, actually, online. Lisa sent me a couple links about a exhibition at the Koenig Gallery of Manuel Rosner, and it got me thinking about digital art, so art that is born digital. So when I say that, I mean artists who use the technologies, online technologies, internet technologies, digital technologies, you know, that it's not about documenting work that exists in the physical realm, but working with those tools in and of themselves. I mean, I think throughout time, artists have adapted to the tools that they have on hand. So whether it is, you know, new pigments to come into the marketplace, whether it is, you know, photography. And in the last 30 years, we've seen artists working with online technologies. You know, this is artists create work from our current cultural situations and comment and look at and hold up a mirror to who we are as humans. And so it's natural that they would use these technologies. And so the I wanted to point people towards a museum that is dedicated, you know, to specifically to art that is born digital. It's called rhizome.org, R-H-I-Z-O-M-E.org. And it is a space that has its mission to look at all of this digital art. So I think it's a perfect time for us to go. You know, I'm going to talk later about, you know, how you go to museums, but this is a space that you can go and actually, you know, have the same experience that you would have had pre-COVID with this particular resource. So they're under the new museum's umbrella. So the new museum is dedicated to specifically to contemporary art. And rhizome.org is certainly, you know, a big part of that in looking at artists who are dealing with internet as their tools. And I think I love this term rhizome. It's a buzz term that's used a lot in contemporary art, and contemporary culture. And I think it's a perfect one for when we think about and when we're looking at internet technologies, right? Because the internet is a web, right? The World Wide Web. That's what the analogy that we use, I think, is fascinating because it comes from the natural environment, right? A spider web, and all these parts are interconnected. Well, a rhizome is a grass system, right? Underneath, it's sort of, you pull a blade of grass and you don't pull the plant, right? For those of us who have weeded quack grass know that all these other things are going to sprout up and be just as important as that other one. So it's this system that is spread out horizontally rather than, you know, a tree that exists. Like if you take the tree, it dies, right? So rhizome.org, it exists sort of across this wonderful World Wide Web platform and looks at digital art. So take a stroll through rhizome.org and start to think about artists who are using these technologies in really interesting and fascinating ways and sort of commenting on them in curious ways. So a lot of them also are interactive. So they're realizing that the user, the internet user is an active part of the creation of the artwork. So, you know, when and I think this is a fascinating thing for us to realize on the whole for all of art, that you as the viewer are what make the art complete. You know, a painting, there's a great article that Lisa's going to post by Hersham Mader. It's an article that was in the New York Times Magazine over the weekend called Visiting the Museum in My Mind. And this is not a new concept, but he talks about it really well, that the person, the viewer, is what makes this work complete. The artist paints the piece, it's never finished, it hangs in a museum, and it relies on people seeing it to complete the meaning. So in other words, someone looks at it, you know, thinks about it, and they're in that relationship, that is where the art happens. And so when we think about digital art, you know, you interacting with it and the artist creating a piece that you have to sort of go down this rabbit hole with, that's part of the production of meaning for the piece. And sort of going back to this, visiting the museum in my mind, it's a wonderful article because it talks about a curator friend of his walking through this empty museum and how different it feels. You know, not only the fact that it is quiet and it's, you know, sort of a little bit, you know, eerie, but that she is looking at pieces that she might not have looked at before, and has connected with pieces in different ways. And sort of a fun flip side to all of this, I read that and then I saw this wonderful post by the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art that partnered with the City Zoo. Here are two cultural institutions that are really struggling right now, right? They're really having a hard time making sure that visitors remember that they exist and come and you know, participate with them. How do you engage your audiences when you're not able to welcome them into your spaces? Well, here they partnered together, and Nelson Atkins welcomed penguins from the Kansas City Zoo to come in and enjoy the museum. And watching videos of penguins look at art is one of the most delightful things I have found. We have to have delight. We have to have joy in these times. And so part of what your assignments are online is rhizome.org and watching penguins look at art. And it's fascinating. So here are the penguins completing the meaning of the work. And when they predicted what the penguins would like, they said, well, maybe Monet, maybe water, you know, right? Penguins love water. The that they stood longest by were the Caravaggios, which are these incredibly dramatic. He was an Italian painter that had this really specific way of painting light and shadow. And so here's these, you know, human dramatic interactions, and that is what the penguins loved. So art is for pleasure, but art is also for thinking. And the quote that I loved from the article that I sent that Lisa's going to post online is that you must, in these times, you must protect your body, but you also must protect your imagination, because that is so precious. And if we can rely on that to help us imagine other, better futures, that is what's going to get us through. So that is where art is this week, Lisa.
I am kind of really rocking to the Where's Art COVID-19 editions.
And right. Silver linings. Where's art silver linings?
I certainly don't mean any disrespect at all, of course, to our amazing local artists. But I am so excited to have the opportunity to talk to you in a way, or to listen to you in a way, that your students probably get to. When everything is, you know, when we're dealing with our local art scene, obviously, there's just a list of these different artists and these different events and exhibitions that people can go to. But when we don't have those at the moment, it becomes, how do we look at what we are looking at? In addition, of course, to giving us some ideas to look at some things that perhaps we might not have thought of looking at. When we are engaging with our artists again, or even now when we're engaging with them online, we're going to be bringing a little bit more sensitivity, a new sensibility, I think, to the way that we're engaging with our artists.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that's exciting is that this time is going to make us love going to those arts events and exhibition openings. We are going to bring everything that we've been learning. We're going to bring some really amazing questions and some really important engagement. And I think one thing that people are finding is that the importance of art is they're realizing this is, you know, this is a way to protect your imagination. This is a way to think, you know, about these really hard things. And so I think we'll be able to bring all of those things to those experiences that we're going to have after this.
And certainly not to underestimate the importance of Netflix and chocolate.
Well, but it is that goes without saying.
It is also teaching us about different ways that we can comfort ourselves, entertain ourselves, make ourselves smile, touch ourselves, calm ourselves. We're learning to reach out for different options that we never had to exercise those muscles before, and now we kind of do.
Yes. Yep. Look at the world in a new way, for sure.
All right. Annie, thanks a million. Let's do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lisa.
Annie Dugan is our host for Where's Art, a regular feature of Mondays at 8:20 right here on KUMD.